Blog Talk Radio.
Hey y'all, it's your girl D. Scott. So, a lot of times, you know, people ask me, especially after having written, you know, Standing Lane and everything, A Diary of a Hot Mess, they always ask me, like, well, how do you deal, you know, with your demons, and how do you, you know, how do you combat them? People can sit there and act like, you know, oh, no, I don't know people that live like that. Shit, yes, you do. You just probably don't talk to them. And that's okay. But I would like to acknowledge my hood roots whenever I can, because sometimes we can end up back there and not want to be there. I am not a peacock. I'm more of a shark. So I don't need to flaunt my feathers and, you know, fucking walk around and act like, you know, this is fit to happen and I'm fit to do this. I don't like the fit to do. I'm more of a, I did this shit, I'm a shark, I laid in wait, I'm a night feeder, I waited, I came at y'all at an angle, and I ate your fucking face. I ate your whole life, and that's what I did. Because if I have to tell you, one of my things is, if I have to tell you I'm coming, if I do tell you I'm coming, I'm already here. It's your girl, D. Scott. Hey, y'all, it's your girl, D. Scott. Hey, y'all, it's your girl, D. Scott. Hey, y'all, it's your girl, D. Scott. Hey y'all, it's me, I'm here. February 24th, 2015, Tell the Truth Tuesday, Part 2. And I just wanted to do these shows just kind of impromptu, just little 30-minute segments to get some information out and to let people know about my foundation that I just started about a week ago called the Sherry Foundation. We'll get into that a little bit later. But this show is a little bit different from my usual rhetoric that I have on Monday nights on Stay in Your Lane. This show is a little bit more serious, and I talk about warning signs about mental illness and about mental health as I sit here and drink this gin and juice, and I have not drank gin in probably well over 2 decades. But I'm preparing myself for what may come in Los Angeles, and when we get there, I'll post it for you, but I don't really like to tell people how much or, you know, how soon or how late or when I'll be somewhere. I just rather post the pictures and you'll figure it out for yourself. So the topic tonight, again, is always mental health, and I try to leave communication lines open because I know that there's a stigma attached to mental health in the Black community, in the minority community, in the Latina community, the Asian community. You know, we don't tend to speak about these things, and so I actually went to see my therapist today, and I want to be transparent, and I want to be open about my journey with my particular kind of mental illness, which is post-traumatic stress disorder, which I come in contact with so many undiagnosed bipolars, not very many undiagnosed schizophrenics. So you can't get to a certain age of schizophrenia, especially men, and not present, as we call it in the community, and not present and, you know, not go to jail or go to the hospital. But, excuse me, I am exhausted. I went to the therapist today, and I only see my therapist now like every other month. I used to have to go twice a month for the last 2 years, last 3 years actually, for some things that were going on. And what ends up happening is that, you know, they try to automatically put you on medication. You know, they try to tell you, well, maybe you should try this. And my answer was always, fucking hell nah. I don't want to be medicated. I don't want to be numb. I don't want to be on any lithium. I don't want to be on any antidepressant. So, you know, you want me to take an antidepressant, to not be depressed so I can function during the day, but you want me to have constipation, gain weight, which will further make me depressed because then I won't be able to fit my clothes and then I have to go get another job so I can buy more clothes because I can't fit the ones I have because I'm on medication that's making me retain water and constipated, and I'm just not going to do it. So for a long time, I was very much against psychopharmaceuticals. I wrote about that in my book, Stay in Your Lane, A Diary of a Hot Mess, now available, been available on Amazon and Kindle, as well as my website. You guys can log on to www.stayinyourlane123.com. Most of my books are there. There are two books that are missing, Bat from Broken, as well as Nightmares and Vultures are not on there because they chose to publish with different publishing houses that were not owned by me or my affiliate. And I don't, you know, rightfully so, I don't promote that because that's, you know, those are the companies you chose to go with. So yes, in total, I've done 6 books, worked on 6 books. But so I went to my therapist today, and she's always so funny because she's always like, all right, so what are you doing now and what's going on? And, you know, so the last time she saw me was around Christmas, which for some people that have mental illness is very difficult, you know, or people that have seasonal associative disorder, it's very difficult because it's a time of, you know, you have to get out, you have to, you know, shop, you have to think about people that perhaps maybe are deceased. I didn't have such a hard time with it. I more or less, I'm exhausted. Excuse me, y'all. I more or less stayed in the house, did a lot more online shopping, but I did take Boom to New York, as you guys all saw on my Instagram, which if you're not following me on Instagram, I'm at miss.d.scott, or on my Twitter at dmsst93. And so she basically, I was going over her things that we were, you know, I was thinking about doing, going to LA, and she asked me, she says, you think you're going to stay here? And I said, well, I'll be here for a little while here in this area. You know, my stepdad's here, my family's here. You know, it's a good springboard, a good base, but I am going to Los Angeles soon, within the next, you know, couple of weeks. And, you know, we have business out there. And Los Angeles is a tricky place, you know. It's not some place that you just jump up and move because, I mean, that's across the country. It's 3,000 miles away, and you think that you're not seeing your family now. Shit, move to Los Angeles and see what happens. And I'm somebody, I need my friends. I need my family. I need people that I can depend on. I need to know that I can get in my vehicle, and even if it's a 10-hour drive, that I can get to you if something happened or, you know, something went on. Hence part of the reason why I moved back to New York from Florida. I was living in Florida for seven years, and ended up coming back to the Western New York area. To the Western New York area. But in my defense, I'm yawning and I'm completely exhausted because, you know, the kids, which I only have one, have been out of school for an entire week. And as a parent, you're like, yeah, you know, that's what's up. You know, I can do all these things now. And then you think about it like, well, what if a tire busts out on my car? And we freeze to death on the side of the road when the weather report clearly stated, stay your fucking ass in the house. So I'm talking to my therapist about that. She says, you know, I think it'd be good you go out to the West Coast. I was telling her about some of the ideas that I had about going to the desert in Mexico and, you know, trying to do a novel of erotica, just kind of, you know, broadening my heights as far as writing is concerned with another one of my partners. And she thought it was a great idea. And it's funny because when you're talking to your therapist, I have a cool therapist. So my therapist isn't the type that says too much. Any therapist that talks too fucking much or tells you what the fuck you should be doing, you should probably go get another therapist. Usually what they do is they just sit there, they listen to you, and then they basically make you answer your own fucking questions. Like, they're basically like, so, do you think that that was a good idea, you know, running people over as if you were in a bowling alley? And you're like, no, that probably wasn't a good idea, you know, good idea to do that, you know what I mean? But any therapist that's sitting there telling you, you're wrong, and this is this, and that's not how they function. And so I had two. I had a psychiatrist and I had a therapist. And so my psychiatrist, well, no, I'm with the psychiatrist now, but my therapist actually quit. But she works for, like, the prison system as if that's somehow an upgrade, but I don't think it is, but benefits-wise, maybe. But so now I'm just down to, I call my psychiatrist my therapist. I call them both my therapists, but she's really my therapist. But I don't have a problem going to see her. I used to miss appointments all the time. And it's funny because if you watch Empire, which is the number one ranked show on primetime television right now, with Taraji P. Henson, my twin, and Terrence Howard and all them, the eldest son, Andre, has bipolar disorder. And so as his wife, which I love the wife, the little white girl, I love her, she, you know, was discussing the fact, she was like, you know, when some people miss a doctor's appointment, you know, that's not a big deal. But for somebody with bipolar disorder, that's an eternity. That's a lifetime. That's a problem. And he wasn't taking his meds. Now, I don't have, contrary to popular motherfucking belief, I don't have bipolar disorder. I have severe, severe post-traumatic stress disorder, which makes me almost a recluse at times. And it makes me very, very American Sniper, which I actually just had the opportunity to watch that movie. So that was a very classic and severe case of post-traumatic stress disorder. So although I've never been to war, I've never served in the armed forces, it's just something about people. I have, you know, his trigger in that particular movie was sound. So you would see him sitting at the table, and then when the lawnmower would go off, he would, you know, black out real quick. Mine is movement. You know, I don't like any unnecessary movement. And we're not talking about, you know, if you're out to dinner or things like that, but just like there's a scene in that particular movie, in American Sniper, where the guy was under the table for too long. And they were all sitting at the dinner table, and he was, you know, with the, you know, the Muslim family. And it just, it didn't sit well with Bradley Cooper, and that triggers him to start doing other things, which in the end he was right. So he really, you know, do we really call that paranoid if in the end you were right? And he ends up freaking out and then beat the hell out the man and then, you know, send him off on his way. But it's just certain things, like for me, it's just I can't do with certain movement. So when I see certain movement, I start to prepare myself because I think you're going to attack me. You know, and rightfully so. It could be in a situation where we're in a heated argument, which I don't really get into heated arguments because I just, you know, I just verbally assassinate anything just to get it out the way so we don't have to go through the hand movements. And, I mean, we're adults. I mean, who would raise their hand at another adult? But people are fucking crazy, you know. And so on the show Empire, you see where he completely went off his meds, which means that that particular medication, which, again, I'm against certain types of psychopharmaceuticals, but if you need it in order for you to be able to function, then you have to do it, which in the show Empire, you see where he was, like, sitting in the shower, shit like that. And that's funny because I've done shit like that. Not a shower, but the bathtub, where you're just trying to get it the fuck together. You know, you watch, there's another show that's out called The Affair. And in my book, I talk about a phenomenon that, you know, the young kids nowadays, they think this shit just got here, you know, self-mutilation, cutting. You know, I did that shit back when I'm, you know, 14, 15 years old, always on the wrist, you know, sometimes on the legs or on the arms, sometimes in your belly. But that also is a form of mental illness and depression. And you do that not so much because you want people to see the scars. You do it because you're like, this can't be real. I'm numb. And maybe if I cut myself and I watch it bleed a little bit, that gives you a sensation of being alive because you can still feel pain. So imagine being so much in pain that you had to physically harm yourself, right, to make sure that you were still a living and breathing thing and that you still bled like everyone else did so that you could go on with your day. And it also was like, for some people, and especially in the show The Affair, when she cut herself, her son had, you know, died in this particular episode, and she was in the truck, and she just took a razor out and just cut her leg, you know, because that was her way of having release. And then I know that a lot of Black women or a lot of Black girls, we don't come forward and say that this is some of the shit that we do, and then this is the very thing that ends up killing us, you know, because you don't know how to cut yourself. You shouldn't be cutting yourself, you know, and then you watch this shit on television and they're getting all, you know, scientific with the shit. And unfortunately, because we as a minority or as Latinas or as Black girls, you know, even Black boys, you know, who do you come and tell somebody, hey, you know, I've been bruising up my legs, you know, or, hey, I've been cutting up my arms and shit just because I wanted to see what it looked like. You know, I talk about it in the book, and I talk about it in my first chapter about my dad, where I talk about I used to do it just to watch the blood drop into the water and then to watch the water turn pink. You know, so at some point, you know, you're sitting there just, you know, I won't, you know, sometimes you just envision these things and you want to see if your body could be taken to that level of pain. You know, and so there's something very sick and very fucking wrong with that. And I wanted to do this show just so that people know that there's people out there that you can talk to. Hey, I'm not a therapist. You know what I mean? Like, I can't help you, but I can get you some help, or I can tell you why you're doing that, or I can probably tell you what happened in your fucking life that you felt the need to do that, because it's always something traumatic. It's never just because, you know, your friend fucking did it and you just decided to do it. That's not how cutting and self-mutilation works. A lot of people got mad at me a few months back because a girl came forward and she said, you know, I just feel like shaving all my hair off my head. And she says, and I don't know what that means. And she wasn't saying it because, you know, she needed a haircut. She just, you know, she wanted to go from very, very long hair. She wasn't in a happy place. And I said, well, you do know that that's a form of self-mutilation. And she goes, I don't know that that's true. I said, well, I'm fucking telling you because you're talking to someone whose hair quite naturally will grow all the way down to my waist. And at certain points when I was my most crazy, I would literally shave my hair all the way off on some Halle Berry type shit, knowing damn well that my face is too big to be rocking a Halle Berry. You know, and then that is a form of self-mutilation. You are taking away, you know, your quote-unquote crowning glory, your beauty. You know, obviously, when you're sick and you're not doing very well, you know, you don't want to get up and put fucking makeup on. It's a struggle. You don't even want to wash your face. You don't want to get your nails done. You know, so a lot of times when people are going through these phases, like look at Wiz Khalifa, you know, this motherfucker went and dyed his goddamn hair purple. He's going through a freaking divorce. So everyone, you know, surfaces or they bottom out on a different level. You know, so I'm not saying that just because you're going through a divorce and you felt like a change. Like when I went through my divorce, which is a traumatic experience, let's be clear, it's no different than mourning the loss of someone. It's just like a fucking death. You know, it is, to me, sometimes it's worse. You know, in my experience, please don't call me and say that death is not, because I've experienced death too. You know nothing, so don't come for me unless you've read my book and you can clearly, distinctively tell me that my experience and what I'm saying is my truth, isn't my truth. You would never be able to say that. I wouldn't allow it. So everyone has their own shit. Everyone has their different things. Some people go and cut their nails off. So I remember my hair was down to my waist, jet black and curly. And I remember, you know, after I was going through my divorce, I didn't want it down there anymore. I probably cut off a good foot or two, foot and a half, you know, 12 inches or better, plus 12 inches plus 16 inches, whatever, of hair, because I was bored. I didn't want to deal with it anymore. I didn't want to look like the same person I was, because I wasn't the same person anymore. I was somebody else. So, and trauma does that to you. You know, after my mother passed away, you know, I lost a couple of friends, you know, people, girls that I had known for 20 plus years. And one of the girls was saying to one of my affiliates, one of my young queens, and she didn't realize that she was one of my young queens. And she said, you know, Denise, she just changed. And, you know, if we could just, and they were like, no, she's not the same. Like, you can't go back to her and try to apologize now for things that happened when her mother died, because the girl that you knew, she probably died right around that time. And not to say that that was a bad thing. You know what I mean? It just, the anxiety and just the pain that my mother was going through, she couldn't inflict on anybody else around her anymore. And so there was a great peace in knowing that, you know, my mother didn't have to suffer anymore. And so when you're suffering, and the funny thing is, my girlfriend from Atlanta had to actually call somebody to come to my house, because I said, you know what, I need to go sit in some water. And I literally went upstairs, sat in a bathtub, completely naked. I think I might have had some shoes on. Something was wrong. And she sent this particular female to the house. And that's why when I saw the episode on Empire where Andre's like sitting in this, of course, this huge shower, and he's just sitting there, you know, looking like Kermit the Frog with the water hitting him, that is supposed to be sobering. And I think that that's maybe why, you know, we choose water as sick people, is that we need some sort of cleansing maybe, or maybe we needed to feel like there was an activity that was going on that was going to wake us up, or maybe we were in a dream. But, you know, water is very significant. It's messed up because my girlfriend in Atlanta thought that, like, I went and jumped over the falls or something. You know, she's like, I don't know what Denise's mind state is right now. You know, her mom just died. You know, so everything else that's going on, and I talked about my post-traumatic stress disorder today, and I said, you know, I didn't suffer nervous breakdowns because Some people suffer them because they hold things in and they cover things up. I'm completely opposite. I just, whatever I want to say, whatever needs to be said, I just say it now. I don't hold back. And I find great peace in that because I don't have any anxiety attacks anymore. My anxiety attacks are not like some of you, you know, you peoples where you're, you know, you're like, oh, I think something's getting ready. No, my anxiety attacks are the kind where like, I can't breathe. I'm getting ready to pass out. I have to take some sort of medication. And I had those medications for years and hardly ever used them until I was in a situation where I felt frightened and I was going to pass the fuck out. You know what I mean? I had to get out of that situation or, you know, whatever. But even now, I am against benzodiazepines, which is your Xanax, if I do have to take something because I'm having a panic attack. But again, my panic attacks feel like heart attacks. Like, so when people, you know, go to the hospital thinking they had a heart attack and then they tell them it was a panic attack, those are my panic attacks. My panic attacks are not like, oh, my God, I'm freaking out. No, I can't even talk when I'm getting, you know what I mean, like when I'm in the middle of something. But I haven't had one. I think I have maybe one a year, you know, and it's just when things get just too overwhelming. And so, unfortunately, I think that we turn to medication a lot of times when we don't have to. If you're schizophrenic, by all means, take the fucking medication. That is the one. That is the one mental illness that I will say that there's nothing organic that you can do about it. No type of therapy that's going to stop the chemical, you know, synapse firing and all that shit that's going on in your brain. There's nothing that's going to stop that. It's, you know, it's inherited, it's genetic, it's, you know, there's nothing you can do. But with bipolar disorder, there are things that you could do that can counter that. Maybe if you had to take a medication, you take the lowest dose. Because what happens with bipolars is they become, that's all bipolar is the old school terminology, manic depressive. You know, you're manic. That's why sometimes on Mondays I'll post on my Facebook or on my Instagram at miss.d.scott or on my Twitter at dmsst93. You know, it's just another manic Monday. You know, you're going from one extreme to the next, which is where we get the word bipolar from. You're in between the two poles. So in a manic fit, you know, you might see someone go and be like, oh, my God, yes. And they go and they buy a brand new car and they go and they're buying, you know, hundreds of dollars of makeup and they're going and they're buying all these things that they can't fucking afford. And then 60 days later, that's not just buyer's remorse, honey. That's a side effect of being fucking bipolar. And then what ends up happening is when you have to pay for the shit, now you're miserable because you can't. We're not talking about someone that just, you know, got some money back or something like that. No, I'm talking about people that this is how their entire lifestyle is. This is how they function. They continuously, over and over again, live between the two poles. I couldn't live that way. And so today's show was just basically me just having, you know, being open to things. And I see, you know, we didn't really have very many callers. And again, I just want to be one of the people that when it comes forward and people say, well, how did this happen and no one helped us, fuck y'all, I tried to help you. Nobody wanted to take advantage of the help that was given for free. A lot of these programs that would help you guys in some of your situations are free. This is not welfare. This is just, it's free. These are community programs. These are community projects. And it's not just here. It's all over the country. I can find you help if you need it. So, again, this is not a hotline. You know, this is just an avenue for people to be able to call in. You don't like that motherfucker over there, call in, say you don't like it. I guarantee you it'll make you feel better. Whether you call in anonymous or whether you call in to talk specifically about somebody, I don't care if you start a fucking war. Get it out. You know, there's too much. People invest too much time in thinking that we have so much time. And we don't. Time is all an illusion. It's all an illusion. It's the only thing that is, it's not tangible. It doesn't make sense. So if I got something to say to you, I'm going to say it to you right now, good, bad, or indifferent. You know, I don't play this whole game of, you know, we're going to see who calls who first because, motherfucker, my pride is stronger than my feelings. I could think about you 100 goddamn times a day, and you still won't fucking hear from me. Because if it's not important to you, it's not important to me, and I can't put you on my roster of importance, and I'm not important to you. It's just I don't need that kind of stress, so I had to start cutting things off. So it's never because, you know, people say, oh, you're so cold, you don't care. No, as a normal psychopath or sociopath, whatever you want to call me, I prefer a psychopath. I like the terminology. I like the definition, cluster A, B, and C. But I have to compartmentalize things. So if I have to choose between my health and your health, I'm going to choose mine. I'm raising a child. You know, I have a family. I'm the matriarch of my family, my whole family. And I'm just not going to allow you to, you know what I mean, come into a situation or a place where you can get the best of me or waste my time. You know, so with that being said, we got a few minutes left in the show, you know, and I just want to play a little song that I didn't get to play yesterday when I had Ben Brandeis on my show. Again, Monday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Stay in your lane with D. Scott on Blog Talk Radio. Tune in next week. And again, we're going to have Tell the Truth Tuesday again next Tuesday, just because I want you guys to feel comfortable with being able to call in and discuss things or just ask me anything. And if I don't know the answer, I can definitely get it for you. I am the follow-up queen.
Every second, every minute, man, I swear that she can get it. Say a few words, bitch, put your hands up high. Hands up high. Hands up high. Tell them dim the lights down right now. Put me in the mood. I'm talking about dark moon perfume. Go, go.
I recognize your fragrance. Hold up, you ain't never gotta say shit. And I know your taste this a little bit. High maintenance. Everybody else basic. You live life on an everyday basis with poetic justice. Poetic justice. If I told you that a flower blooms in a dark room, would you trust it? I mean, I write poems in these songs dedicated to you when you're in the mood for empathy. It's blood in my pen. Better yet, with your friends and them. I really wanna know you all. I really wanna show you off. Fuck that. Pour up plenty of champagne. Cold nights when you curse this name. You called up your girlfriends and y'all curled in that little bitty range. I heard that she wanna go and party. She wanna go and party. Nigga, don't approach her with that Atari. Nigga, that ain't good game, homie. Sorry. They say conversation rule a nation. I can tell, but I could never write my wrongs lest I write it down for real. P.S.
You can get it, you can get it, you can get it.
And I know just, know just, know just, know just, know just what you want. Poetic justice, put it in a song, alright.
You can get it, you can get it, you can get it, you can get it.
And I know just, know just, know just, know just, know just what you want. Poetic justice, put it in a song, alright. I really hope you play this, cause oh girl, you test my patience with all these seductive photographs and all these one-off vacations you've been taking. Clearly a lot for me to take in, it don't make sense. Young East African girl, you too busy fucking with your other man. I was trying to put you on game, put you on a plane, take you and your mama to the motherland. I could do it, maybe one day, when you figure out you're gonna need someone. When you figure out it's all right here in the city and you don't run from where we come from. That sound like poetic justice, poetic justice. You were so new to this life, but goddamn, you got adjusted. I mean, I write poems in these songs dedicated to the fun sex, your natural hair and your soft skin and your big ass and that sundress. Ooh. Good God, what you doing that walk for? When I see that they move, I just wish we would fight less and we would talk more. They say communication, save relations, I can tell, but I can never write my wrongs unless I write them down for real. P.S.
You can get it, you can get it, you can get it, you can get it.
And I know just, know just, know just, know just, know just what you want. Poetic justice, put it in a song, alright.
You can get it, you can get it, you can get it, you can get it.
And I know just, know just, know just, know just, know just what you want. Poetic justice, put it in a song, alright.
Every time I write these words, they become a taboo. Making sure my punctuation curve, heavy letter hits true. Living my life in the margins, and that metaphor was proof. I'm talking poetic justice, poetic justice. If I told you that a flower bloomed in a dark room, would you trust it? I mean, you need to hear this. Love is not just a verb, it's you looking in the mirror. Love is not just a verb, it's you looking for it, maybe. Call me crazy, we can both be insane. A fatal attraction is common, and what we have common is pain. I mean, you need to hear this. Love is not just a verb, and I can see power steering. Sex drive, when you swerve, I want that interference. It's coherent, I can hear it. Mm-hmm. That's your heartbeat. It either caught me or it caught me. Mm-hmm. Read slow and you'll find gold mines in these lines. Sincerely, yours truly, and right before you go blind. P.S.
You can get it, you can get it, you can get it, you can get it.
And I know just, know just, know just, know just, know just what you want. Poetic justice, put it in the song.